You two deserve better, and we have the program.
Well, that is fortuitous.
One thing stands out as a completely unique experience.
Zoo Radio has returned.
You may not know this, but they try to call me at the White House every night during the concert.
Bono, what are you doing, man?
I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to get George Bush on the phone, no matter what.
Good evening. White House?
Yeah, this is me again. Bono here, calling for Mr. Bush.
Sorry, Mr. Bono, but he's just coming back from a jog around the Potomac. Can he get back to you?
Well, see, we're doing this Zoo Radio show here, and I've only got, like, a limited amount of time, you know? Can I order one of those cool cubic zirconium rings while I'm holding?
Sorry, sir, but I believe you're thinking of the Home Shopping Network. This is the White House.
Oh, right. I get these places confused. Okay, I'll call back later. Thanks.
You know, they say that the old samurai, that if they're defeated in battle, they have to take on the ideology of the victor. Think about that.
We've set it up so that there is almost a conflict, you know.
The edge.
It's almost the Zoo TV production fighting for the attention of the audience with the band. But that's a good tension. That makes us, you know, kick a bit harder to try and overcome the possibility of being overshadowed.
I like to watch.
It's a calm.
Once again, kids, it's that time on the Zoo Radio Hour when we invite you to test the visual portion of your radio. Just take your Zoo Radio Visual Receptor Transmogrifier Kit out of its protective sleeve, extend the interocitor rods and rotate to point C, making sure that the magenta adaptions are snapped all the way onto the Kastner head. You should be able to spot me smiling and waving. See? Holding up this little clown.
All right, Bono.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to be the world's most glamorous man?
Big pardon? Run that by me again.
Edge, how does it feel to be the most glamorous man in the world?
The most glamorous man in the world? Are you serious?
Is this because I'm sitting in such a Hugh Hefner-like fashion?
You might describe what you're wearing.
I wouldn't dare.
Well, some people would argue, maybe unkindly, that you're the second most glamorous person in the world, you see.
I think I can live with myself, yeah. I presume you're referring to Larry.
Larry Mullen Jr., how does it feel to be the most glamorous man in the world?
Next.
Larry Mullen Jr., how does it feel to be the second most glamorous man in the world?
Next.
Larry Mullen Jr., how does it feel to be regarded as one of the most unglamorous men in the world?
I like it.
I got blisters on my fingers!
Adam Clayton, how does it feel to be the most glamorous man in the world?
Well, it's kind of worn a bit thin.
It might have been called Adam, but that depended on the photography. There might have been a much bigger fifth member on the sleeve.
Do you speak any German, someone asks?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Bono, who is the bigger influence on you, Marilyn Monroe's lips or Elvis Presley's legs?
That's the sort of thing that keeps me up at night.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Marilyn Monroe's belly button is a sort of compromise.
Zoo Castle Films presents Our Insect World, Series 9, Volume 27, The Fly. Welcome, boys, girls, men, women, and teachers, to the world of one of nature's most underrated wonders, the common fly. Yes, the fly. Both a bold and a shy creature. He enjoys frolicking on the family's picnic in the park on Sundays, yet he prefers to his frappy alone under a large leaf with his own pipe-like entrenching tool, the proboscis. The many-faceted eyesight of the fly is so keen, he can detect movements before they even happen, making him a hit at parties and a big winner at the races.
There's this chap who I've been seeing since February. Seen quite a lot of him. And I've talked to him and stuff. And I haven't really got the shape of him, you know. I don't claim to know him at all. But, you know, and I started asking him about himself, and he said, well, ask Bono. I think Bono knows. He wears kind of crinkly sort of black clothes and shades, and he calls himself the Fly.
Stay away from him. You don't want to be hanging out with him. The Fly, I'll tell you how the Fly came about. The Fly came about when fighting Fintan Fitzgerald, who's the guy that, like, buys us some gear and makes sure we don't look like complete wankers when we're on TV. He found these glasses in a second-hand shop, these goggle-like glasses, and he found them very funny, and he gave them to me as a present. And I used to take them into the studio when we were recording Acton Baby, and everyone would be getting a bit depressed or bored or bleak about what was going down. I used to pick up the glasses, put them on and go, now I can see everything. Now I can see it. And it would just make people laugh. And so I created this character, the Fly, out of that. You know, the Fly could see everything through the shades. Couldn't see a thing, really, you know, because he had these such... The shades were so dark, but he wasn't looking around the room. He was looking through the walls and up into the stars, and he was a slightly psychotic personality. And thought of himself as a seer, but, you know, really was walking into walls as a result of these shades.
And you like being him?
Yeah, I get to be the poser I've always wanted to be. I get to, you know, walk through a few walls occasionally. And he has a lot of fun, does the Fly. And doesn't seem to need much sleep, can drink a lot. And can, you know, shoot the with the best of them.
But what about nectar? Well, when the Fly finds it's time to mate, or rut, he puts out his feelers, turns up his olfactory and other sensory nerve inputs, and scans the horizon for the piquant marshmallow smell of a female fly in heat. Ah, lucky fellow, he's found one. Yes, her mysterious dance seems to lift up his day and light up his night. But it's all right. As she comes to accept him, it's no secret that the Fly's orgasmic pleasure is matched only by his built-in proportionate inability to remain in a fixed location for any length of time. For no sooner has the mating couple filled each other's goby nodules with albuminate spoo than the Fly, ever touring, ever seeking nectar, flies off to another destination, smiling all the while as the facets in his mirror-like covering reflect grace, land, and mansions of endless stars, thus filling in the blank spaces of nature's lost address book. Is it all in the name of love, or is this conscious pest but a note in the marvelous symphony of nature's universe? Perhaps we'll never know, but the next time you see a common fly, remember, there's more to this pesky fellow's life than rancid oatmeal and his attraction to that light bulb over your bed. Yes, one of nature's most misunderstood anomalies, Mr. Fly will always be a part of our insect world.
It's not so much, I suppose, the belly button, but I love Middle Eastern women. I think they're very mysterious. And I think that in the West, people have a really kind of corny attitude to sex. And it's very obvious. Or I like the kind of veiled attitude of Middle Eastern women. Arabic women are... You know, I've been very badly mistreated over the years. But despite that, they have a real grace. And grace is the thing I love the best in anybody. I find them very sexy. It's a very un-American kind of sexuality in that it's not playboy. It's not, you know, tits and ass. It's not so skinny as European sexuality. It's playful, it's mischievous, but it has mystery, like rock and roll should have.
You've written a song for Willie Nelson.
Yep. Myself and Edge have this kind of songwriting partnership where if we're bored or if we're, like, on an airplane, we write, you know, we'll write songs together. And... we've written a few over the while for Roy Orbison, just written one for Frank Sinatra, Yeah, we got this song at the moment going for Willie Nelson called Slow Dancing. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever record it. I'm sure Willie Nelson doesn't need one of our songs. He's one of the greatest writers in American music. But I'd love him one day to record it. It's taking the idea of the femme fatale and turning it on its head a little bit, where you think the song is about this woman who picks up a man and messes him around. But it turns out to be a song about a man who went to a bar for only one reason, which was to be picked up and to be messed around. Well, I've only performed it a few times, and every time I perform it, it feels more natural to me.